Welcome to Braided, helping you balance tradition in an untraditional world. This is a show where we gather and talk about all things faith, family, and business. I'm so glad you joined us. Hello, hello. Good afternoon, you guys. I hope y'all are having a wonderful Tuesday. We are in the week of Christmas. Yeah. I am so excited. I hope y'all are too. I finally got my new cord in and I think it's working, but let me double check here. Okay. Oh my gosh. Hallelujah. I think it might be working. So I've had this little short one. I mean, this is Darren and I would do our little marriage show that we had with this little cord, and it was a nightmare. And finally, I had changed my setup in my office where my computer is elevated, and this little cord just wasn't doing it anymore. So anyway, I'm so excited to finally have a long cord that works. So hello, hello, you guys. Happy Christmas week. I am so excited. This has been such a wonderful season for us, you guys. Like, it's been just delightful. It's been so delightful. God has been really, really good to us. And I'm so excited to celebrate the birth of Jesus in just a few days. It's right around the corner. What I can't believe, though, is that it is going to be in the 70s. I think even mid-70s. Let me look and see if that's changed. Oh my gosh. Now it's saying 80 degrees on Saturday, Christmas Day. And on Christmas Eve, a high of 82. I know we live in West Texas, but I don't know that I ever remember the holidays, the Christmas season being like that hot. But I could be wrong. I feel like I personally haven't remembered that. It's always at least been a little chill, little chilly weather. I don't remember the last time we had snow on Christmas, but I know it's happened before. At least I think it has. Anyway, let's hop right in, you guys, today. So we're going to double up today. I'll have to triple up sometime or even try to do a reading in the morning and a reading in the afternoon to make up for yesterday. And I'm so sorry about yesterday, you guys. Just some stuff came up and then I needed to rest. Just yesterday didn't happen. But I am determined for us to finish this Advent study by Friday. Now, if for some reason something happens, it's okay to read one on Monday. But I really have confidence that we can finish this. So we're on day 16 and day 17. Day 16, shrewd, not Scrooge. Today's reading, Luke 16. Other passages to ponder. You groped your way through that murk once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. The good, the right, the true, these are the actions appropriate for daylight hours. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. But friends, you're not in the dark. So how could you be taken off guard by any of this? You're sons of light, daughters of day. We live under wide open skies and know where we stand. So let's not sleepwalk through life like those others. Let's keep our eyes open and be smart. People sleep at night and get drunk at night, but not us. Since we're creatures of day, let's act like it. Walk out into the daylight sober, dressed up in faith, love, and the hope of salvation. 1 Thessalonians 5:4-8. Okay, I'm going to just double check audio, you guys. Okay, perfect. He went to church and walked about the streets and watched the people hurrying to and fro and patted children on the head and questioned beggars and looked down into the kitchens of houses and up to the windows and found that everything could yield him pleasure. He had never dreamed that any walk, that anything could give him so much happiness. Charles Dickens, A Christmas Carol. It's Christmas Eve. You load the last of the dishes into the dishwasher, turn off the lights, and crawl into bed. Your eyelids suddenly feel extra heavy, and you fall into a deep sleep. You awake the next morning, Christmas morning, in heaven. Peace and joy flood your soul. The brightness of God's glory heals from life's wounds instantly. You feel a burst of energy. You look up and wonder about the vast crowd coming your way. Then, somehow, you know this is your welcoming committee, throngs of believers who have been impacted by your life. The people shout and cheer and give praise to God for your arrival. A young woman steps forward, warmly grabs your shoulders, looks deep into your eyes with smiling gratitude and says, "I'm here because of you. I grew up in Guatemala. I met a young man one day at a watering hole. He told me about Jesus. He was on a mission trip with his youth group. You gave generously so he could make that trip." She then turns around and waves forward some of her family members, parents, siblings, and cousins. She smiles widely and says, We're all here because of you. You had no idea, none whatsoever. You lose track of time listening to stories from people all over the world who one by one share intimate details of how your life and your stewardship impacted their eternity. With one hand on your heart and the other over your mouth, you're speechless. What you considered a Christian duty or an insignificant act turned out to be a supernatural transaction of the most sacred kind. For the briefest moment, you wish you had lived all in, believing that God truly moves on every act prompted by your faith. You hear the dog bark and you suddenly wake up to your actual life. Still under the covers, you feel a catch in your throat. You've been given another chance to invest your whole life in the coming kingdom. You shudder when you think of your natural bent to live as if this life is all there is. But you know better now. You know the truth. There's a kingdom that's coming, and how you live here directly impacts how you'll arrive and thrive there. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. Jesus told this parable. Oops, I just lost my place. Okay, Jesus told this parable to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. One day, a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired." The manager thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have strength to dig ditches and I'm too proud to beg. I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired." Luke 16:1-4. This man invited each person who owed his employer money to discuss his situation. He reduced the amount owed and collected immediately on each of these accounts. Jesus continued with his analogy. The rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And it is true that the children of this word are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than the children of the light. Here's a lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then, when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to eternal home. Luke 16:8-9. Jesus obviously wasn't condoning dishonest behavior. He used such a drastic illustration to teach his followers that the people of his word, of, I keep saying word, but I mean world, that the people of his world shouldn't be better at stewarding opportunities than the people of his kingdom. Over and over again, Jesus used parables to teach about stewardship when it comes to the eternal kingdom. He wants us to think now about our eternal future and the friends who will be there waiting to welcome us home. Our worldly possessions will one day return to dust. And what will we have to show for it all? The friends we've introduced to Jesus who will one day welcome us home. This shrewd man knew he was about to be fired and thought only of himself. In contrast, Jesus charges us to use every opportunity in front of us and our time, our finances, our special talents to bring people into the kingdom. In Dickens' A Christmas Carol, we read about a miserably wealthy man named Ebenezer Scrooge. He didn't care about God and he didn't care about people. As a result, he made himself and others miserable. Then one night, he was visited by the ghost of his former business partner, Jacob Marley, and the ghost of Christmas past, present, and future. Scrooge was given a front row seat to see the impact of a self-made, selfish life. Once he realized how deeply his choices impacted the present and future for others, he awoke to become a kind and generous man. To be shrewd is to be sharp, astute, and able to discern an opportunity when you see one. To be a Scrooge is to disregard people, responsibility, and future impact. We might not be as miserably snarky as Scrooge, but we're easily as selfish when we live as if this life, our comforts, and our possessions are all that matter. We can spend all of our Christmas budget on giving gifts to those who are already rich, and they may forget about them by February. Or we can strategically use some of our time, treasures, and talents to help the hurting and to creatively point people to Jesus and to his coming kingdom. Scrooge found happiness after he learned to give it away. It will be the same with us. Why? Because we are created in the image of God and it's in his nature to give. He loved us so much that he gave us his son. He loves us so much that he sends us new mercies every morning. He loves us so much that he forgives and forgives again. He loves us so much that he takes the smallest seed sown and turns it into a harvest of righteousness. He wants to reward our faith. He intends to multiply our offerings. This Christmas, may you know the radical joy that comes from living an intentional kingdom life. Prepare him room. King Jesus, you've made your heart perfectly clear. I'm not sure why I miss it so easily. You care about the lost, the hurting, and the broken. You came to heal broken hearts and bind up their wounds and to save their souls, just as you've done for me. Forgive me for being so wrapped up in my own story that I miss the bigger story you're writing on the earth today. I want to be creative, innovative, and profoundly generous for your name's sake. I want to steward opportunities with an otherworldly wisdom from above. Help me to live like your promises are true. I'm just passing through on my way to live forever with you. Amen. Look up. Fast this Christmas from the need to impress the already rich with gifts you cannot afford. Give good gifts, but remember the poor. Remember the kingdom. Rise up this season and look for creative ways to fund the kingdom. Give a year-end gift to a ministry. Purchase Bibles to give away. Help a struggling family. Live with eternity in mind. That is such a beautiful reminder of ways that we can honor Jesus and honor this season the right way and not I love to give gifts. And so this is really hard for me to say, but she hit the nail on the head. I mean, are we spending more time thinking about how we can impress with certain gifts to certain people? Or are we thinking more of how can we help others? What's more important to you? Spending $100 to impress somebody, like she said, will probably forget that you gave them that by February. Or would it be worth more in the kingdom to spend $100 on feeding, you know, a family who maybe can't afford Christmas dinner, or giving gifts to kids who maybe their mom and dad can't afford, you know, Christmas gifts. I mean, we have to really weigh that. We have to weigh those things. We really do. And you have to be willing to give just as much to others in need as you would people who don't need, you know, who are wealthy, or at least maybe able to take care of themselves, or, you know what I mean? And so this is such a great reminder of that, just to make sure that you are not just giving to family and friends, but you're also giving to your community. You're giving to other organizations and ministries, and giving of your time and helping build the kingdom in that way. So day 17, live like Jesus. Today's reading, Luke 17. Other passages to ponder. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Matthew 5:8. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. Psalm 24:3-4. How would things change if you resolved to rebel against your own indifference and embody the things you long to see in the world? If you resolved that you would pursue beauty and resist brokenness, that you would resist idolatry with worship, exhaustion with rest, hate with love, privilege with sacrifice, and cynicism with celebration. John Tyson. Jesus left Galilee for the last time with his eyes fixed on Jerusalem. You can almost picture his focused, purposeful gaze. He still had so much to teach his followers. Some of his lessons were hard to understand and would only make sense in hindsight. For example, from the previous chapter, a distracted listener might think he heard Jesus compliment a crook when it seems he should have scolded him. Jesus was actually calling his people to leverage every opportunity for the kingdom. For that is why he came, and that is why we're alive on the earth in this moment. The lessons in today's chapter might cause the casual follower to drop back and follow someone with a more upbeat message. But Jesus didn't come to entertain us. He came to save us. Luke chapter 17 is for the serious follower of Christ, the one who believes that Jesus is indeed the hope of the world, and that his ways lead to life eternally and abundantly. Consider today's chapter a boot camp for the soul. Heroic men and women who join the armed forces do so knowing that they'll have authority only when they're under authority. They fully accept boot camp to break them off their bad attitudes and habits and train them in the ways of strategy and warfare. Likewise, we have a very real enemy whose aim is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus unapologetically goes after the attitudes in our lives that he knows will destroy us, or that will give the enemy easy access to us. A casual approach to sin, a willingness to hold a grudge, and an entitled and ungrateful heart all leave a wide open door for the enemy to walk in and sabotage our lives. Besides, we're called to something so much higher, so much greater than our natural default to sin and selfishness. Let's go back to the boot camp analogy. Servicemen and women are trained to take orders, to work together, and to understand enemy warfare. They know that once boot camp is over, their first assignment may take them behind enemy lines. In a similar fashion, Jesus' teaching in this chapter prepares us to navigate life on earth behind enemy lines while we wait for him to return for us. He asks nothing from us that he hasn't already done for us. Jesus stood up from his throne, took off his kingly robe, and broke through the cosmos to enter the womb of a teenage girl. The stars shone bright that first Christmas night. The heavens watched as Jesus entered our world on a rescue mission. Creation held its breath as Jesus made himself known for the sake of the lost, the hurting, and the broken. Wise men sought him then, and wise men still seek him today. Our Savior placed himself behind enemy lines, was willing to be associated with outcasts and sinners, took on religious establishments that made fellowship with God seem almost impossible. Jesus was routinely insulted, mocked, set up, and harassed, and he endured a horrific, traumatic, unjust execution. Yet, he walked through life with a pure, humble, strong, and loving heart. He never held a grudge, never wasted a moment, and continually forgave those who sent him to the cross. Love motivated his every step. We have access to the same power that raised Jesus from the grave. The disciples surely scratched their heads, though, as they listened to Jesus' seemingly impossible standard for them in their eye for an eye culture. Jesus shocks them with this charge. So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then, if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must forgive. Luke 17:3-4. I'm quite sure I would have responded the way the disciples did. They simply said, increase our faith. They knew that they didn't have a heart like his. Hard to forgive once, let alone repeatedly. Challenging to confront another sinner, especially while maintaining a pure and humble heart. Increase your faith, they prayed. Jesus urged them to act upon the faith they already possessed. Even a little faith in action accomplishes great and powerful things. Jesus showed them the high standard of holiness and then reminded them of the supernatural power at work on their behalf. From there, Jesus addressed entitlement and ingratitude, both of which will poison the soul. Again, picture Jesus with all of the love in his heart, preparing the disciples. He loved to prevail on the earth for the sake of the kingdom. When Jesus talked about their duty to serve without expecting reward, he wasn't contradicting what he said in Luke chapter 12. It's still true that when he returns, if he finds us serving him faithfully, he promises to put on an apron, seat us at the banqueting table, and serve us. Imagine what Jesus warns against in today's chapter is the entitled attitude that creeps into our hearts when we work hard for him. Here again, Jesus reminds us that whatever attitude we allow in our hearts will directly impact the way we serve him and love others. This is why we must continually give time and space to the Holy Spirit to guide, guard, correct, and redirect. And it's why we must be profoundly intentional about what we allow in and what we keep out of our hearts. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful, lying, misleading mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead toward the path of moral courage, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you toward the path of integrity. Consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet, and all your ways will be steadfast and sure. Do not turn away to the right nor to the left where evil may lurk. Turn your foot from the path of evil. Proverbs 4:23-27. The more Christ-like you become, the more credibility you will have in the true kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't look at the outward appearance. He sees, knows, and discerns our hearts. He deeply loves you. He's profoundly equipped you, and he's called you to shine your light so brightly that it dispels the darkness around you. His light now shines in your heart to light the way for those wandering in darkness to find their way to him. Jesus wants to train and transform you to such a degree that you learn to thrive behind enemy lines. Know how to stand in battle, know how to rest under his wing, and know how to trust his love in an increasingly unloving world. Jesus wants to lead you on the path of healing, restoration, and renewal, and he wants you sober, alert, and ready for his return. The end of the world, as we know it, is serious business, and we're closer to that day than ever before. The masses will be caught up in life as usual when God shows up and puts a period at the end of his sentence. People won't be ready for it, won't at all be prepared. But Jesus wants you to live ready. Prepare him room. Father in heaven, I can be such an earthbound traveler at times. I'm so aware of my default settings when it comes to sin, selfishness, and other people's faults. Forgive me, Lord. Transform me, Father. Make me into the person you always dreamed I could be. Open my spiritual eyes to the reality of your kingdom. Give me a heart to discern truth from lie, right from wrong, and love from hate. Oh, bless me. I'm so sorry. Excuse me, y'all. Let's see. Where was I? Okay, I think I found my place. Remove my taste for lesser things that I might be focused solely on your kingdom. This earth will soon pass away. I want you to find me ready, faithful, and grateful. I love you, Lord. Amen. Look up. Fast from all negative, cynical, critical attitudes this season. Just say no to them. Do the hard work of forgiveness and trust the people and the details to God. If you've earned the right to speak into someone's life and that someone is wandering into sin, prayerfully make a plan to sit down and have a loving conversation with them. You're in training. You're equipped. God is with you. Beautiful. That was a really good one as well. I have really enjoyed this devotional because it really touches on the everyday topics and the everyday things that us Christ followers should be thinking about. And I really liked how she talks about increasing our faith. And there was a part here I wanted to read. I think this was it. Even a little faith in action accomplishes great and powerful things. Jesus showed them the high standard of holiness and then reminded them of the supernatural power at work on their behalf. We have to have that high standard of holiness. I think too many Christians nowadays, and sadly a lot of churches, I know when Darren and I were looking for a church home when we moved back, we kept running into this. Even sadly, churches are almost contributing to this thought of, well, I can sin because God forgives me, or I just need to ask for forgiveness, but I'll be fine. But then they go back to their sin. And so just remember, have a higher spiritual standard for yourself and for others, because people, especially when we're, you know, bold about calling ourselves Christians and that we're following Jesus, you put yourself in the limelight of unbelievers and they start watching you. They start watching your life. And so not saying that you're not going to make mistakes. I mean, I've obviously made tons of mistakes on my walk and I'm sure I will continue. So, but I have to have a higher standard of holiness in my life. I have to be looking at the things that are going to make me a better Christ follower, a better daughter of the one true King, and that I'm every day intentionally choosing Him and choosing to sacrifice my own fleshly desires in order to follow Him. And when we start to do that, our faith starts to grow. Our grace in others, we start to forgive others more quickly. And so just remember that, y'all, as you're going into the rest of this Christmas week, you know, think about things in your life that maybe you need to submit to the Lord, you know, to live like Jesus, to be who He has called you to be, because He created you for a reason. And I'm going to go back to the look up. Fast from all negative, cynical, critical attitudes this season. And that's another big one, is what are you allowing your thoughts to guide you? Are you allowing your thoughts to choose for you if you're going to be joyful, if you're going to be positive, if you're going to be hopeful? But you know, don't be led by your thoughts. Lead your thoughts. Don't be led by what the enemy says, but move forward and submit your thoughts to the Lord. The Bible says to submit every thought to the Lord, every thought, even the good ones, y'all, because the enemy can even deceive us with good thoughts. So we have to submit our thoughts to the Lord, and we have to just continue to walk in that peace, walk in his presence and in his grace. And to put away those cynical attitudes and those critical attitudes, be forgiving, forgive others, show grace. So I hope that this blessed you today. I will be back again for day 18 and day 19, tomorrow, and we'll figure out how we're going to do this. Like I said, I'll either hop on twice a day or we'll triple up the days until Friday, but we're going to get through this study. So I hope y'all have a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. I keep feeling like it's already Wednesday. I guess I'm ready to get Christmas here, but I will talk to y'all later. Have a wonderful, blessed day. Thank you for tuning into this episode. Please visit us at www.braided.faith and find us on all social media platforms under Crystal Addis or Braided Faith. We look forward to connecting with you.